From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Earlier this month, officials here in Idaho announced where they want to build new electrical vehicle charging stations in communities like Bliss, Fruitland, Pocatello, and Jerome. This is all part of a federal program to expand the nation's charging infrastructure, which wants to offer public charging stations every 50 miles along a national network. Now, it's a lack of available charging stations that have kept many from buying an EV. This is according to a new survey by AAA of Idaho. Only 18% of adults say they're actually ready to buy an electric car, and more than 50% of them say it's because there aren't enough charging stations, and they're afraid they'll run out of charge before they get to where they're going. So here to talk about the new study is AAA Idaho Public and Government Affairs Director Matthew Condi. Nice to have you back on the show.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So Matthew, so you found that only 18% of people are ready to buy an electric vehicle. I would think that's a pretty low number. Is this lower than even the study you did last year?
It is. It's a 5% decrease from the previous year among those people that are likely or very likely to buy an EV soon. What we're learning, I think, is that the early adopters have largely taken hold of this technology. Just like the first person on the block with the CD player or the Blu-ray player. I'm old enough to remember the CD player switch. And so you have a new technology that's out there. And there's a larger secondary wave that is kind of on standby, waiting for the technology to sort of finish baking, if you will, and create a little bit more of an infrastructure for people to rely on.
You know, I think that's interesting because I'd place, you know, myself and my husband in that category where we've talked excessively about an electric vehicle, but haven't made that plunge into that realm yet. And I think it's because we still have a lot of questions. And with that said, Matthew, I mean, that means probably 63% or so of Americans kind of feel like we do. So is that, you know, maybe a pretty common factor here is that we're just, you're just kind of not sure if you're ready to take that leap.
That's right. There's two really interesting dynamics here. A few years ago, we talked to current EV owners and 2 in 5 said that they drive more than ever before. 96% said that they would buy or lease an EV for their next vehicle. So once people get over that introductory hurdle and get some experience with this technology, the vast majority seem to love it and go with it. And so, you know, there is obviously a lot of awareness that isn't there yet. A lot of us haven't had exposure to a lot of these technologies yet. You do have some upfront barriers. There is a higher purchase price for an EV, typically. There is a higher cost for things like battery repair, replacement, things like that. But on the back end, long term, EV ownership may actually work out to be a wash in a lot of ways because you have a cheaper product as far as fueling it with those charges. And you also have fewer moving parts. That internal combustion engine has a lot more moving parts in it, things that can happen. And so some of your repair costs on the back end may actually go away.
I will tell you, I mean, I think when I look at the breakdown with what your survey came out with and kind of what those obstacles are, 60% of people say that higher purchase price is the reason. And I have to say, I would place myself in that category. You look at that purchase price and it's like, and you hesitate. So with that said, though, let's talk also about the 54% of respondents who said there's just a lack of convenient places to charge. So how many charging stations are there in the United States? Do we know?
Well, we go with the U.S. Department of Energy data. We know that there were nearly 75,000 charging stations nationwide in 2023. That was 20,000 more than the previous year. So there is a snowballing effect that's happening. It's sort of happening behind the scenes, but you're seeing really a collaboration here. You're seeing the public involvement, but then you're also seeing private businesses doing it as well. Hotels, restaurants, resorts, they understand that they need to be supportive regardless of the mode of transportation people are taking. And so you're seeing kind of private enterprise and also public effort. This is all kind of happening behind the scenes, but it is moving along.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about charging stations here in Idaho. Are most charging stations, let's start with that, clustered in bigger cities? So
they
even
are.
For example,
major metro areas are going to be the epicenter for a lot of these things. And of course, people do have this range anxiety, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at how an EV performs, we did some research on this subject, with heat, using the heat when you're at 20 degrees, you're going to potentially lose up to 41% of your range. If you use the air conditioning in 95% temperatures, sorry, 95 degrees, not 95%, you're going to see maybe a 17% drop in range. So obviously, without having heat coming off of the engine block like you would see in an internal combustion engine, you have to produce that heat from somewhere. Well, that's coming from the charge itself. Now, obviously, you've got regenerative braking, which is a really important topic, and I think it's important for people to understand. It uses the kinetic energy that's created when the car slows down to recharge the battery. And so there's not a lot of coasting that happens when you're using an electric vehicle. It tends to just stop because all that energy is being transferred back to the battery. And a lot of people configure their vehicles to do the accelerating and the braking using just that single pedal to maximize that regenerative braking. And I had an opportunity last fall to experience some of that firsthand.
Well, talk to us a little bit about that then. And I guess if you do run out of a charge while you're traveling, I mean, besides calling AAA, what can you do? I mean, does it have to be towed?
Well, obviously, in a lot of cases, it would have to be towed because, again, the infrastructure is still in its infancy. We do have mobile charging. AAA is piloting mobile EV charging here in the Treasure Valley. Obviously, some other entities are getting involved in that as well. And so it is something that is taking off. But as far as my personal experience goes, last fall, I had a great opportunity to drive several different electric vehicles. The owners got together and were very generous in sharing their time and their perspective. And so they kind of took turns riding shotgun and letting people drive their vehicles. The F-150 Lightning, the Rivian, Teslas and Chevy Bolts and all sorts of other items. And it was a really cool experience. One of the things that I was really impressed by, and I think a lot of people will be as well, is just the sheer torque and power that these EVs can produce. They accelerate in a hurry. And so they are very, very interesting to operate. And once you get the feel for that single pedal, it really does change your perspective. And I think that that's true of a lot of us, that as we gain familiarity with the technology, some of the fears and some of the concerns can be demystified a little bit. And so that helps us maybe to adjust our mindset a little as we go. But I thought it was a really rewarding experience. I had not driven an electric vehicle prior to that. And so that was a good way for me to sort of test the waters. And of course, obviously, there are plenty of opportunities to test drive an electric vehicle or even to rent one maybe on your next vacation and give it a shot and just see what you think. But, you know, until you experience it for yourself, it's kind of like learning to whistle. Until you make the noise on your own, it's all theory.
So let's talk a little bit more about this AAA study. Was there a part of it that surprised you at all with the responses that were received?
Well, I think that definitely the lack of convenient places to charge was, you know, it was a reasonable middle of the road number. I was surprised to see the drop off in general, to be honest, that 5% drop overall, because I figured that enough people are out there starting to kind of talk up the technology, those early adopters, they have friends, they have family, and people are maybe riding with these people and starting to have some of their own experiences with the technology. What this tells me is that there's still a large, large group of folks that have just not had any experience with it whatsoever. And so, you know, I think it does make the case for the hybrid garage. We talk about a toolbox, and of course, it's got the wrench, the screwdriver, the hammer, different tools for different jobs. And so if you've got an electric vehicle and maybe your comfort level in the beginning is using it around town, shorter commutes, things of that nature, maybe that is a starting point for some people. But in the long run, what we've seen anecdotally talking to EV owners, they tend to expand the use of that vehicle more and more and more as they get a little bit more comfortable with how it works. And a lot of these vehicles have technology that tell you, okay, this is as far as we're going to go. Range is running low. Here's the location of the nearest EV charging opportunities, things like that. And of course, AAA and others have resources like that as well. Our digital tour books, we've got hotels with EV charging stations listed in them, the AAA mobile app to help find the chargers that are near you. And so I think everybody's trying to team up and make their little contribution to make this overall thing a success. Because in the end of the day, however people go, AAA has got to be there for them. And so, you know, we're not here to pick favorites, but as people have preferences, we want to be supportive of all of them.
So one thing that stood out to me on this study is that you found that more people are actually willing to buy a hybrid vehicle over an electric vehicle. So why do you think that would be? I mean, is it because with a hybrid, I mean, if you know, it's like we talked about with an electric vehicle. I mean, if it runs out of charge, it runs out of charge. And a hybrid can flip over to gas if needed.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, my brother has bought a couple of hybrids and he tends to rub the mileage in my face a little bit, sort of a case of mileage envy now. But we talk a lot about it and he's very, very upfront about how he's getting 40, 45 miles to the gallon, things like that. And he's got a couple of hybrids now. My suspicion is he'll probably never go back because it's just one of those things that, again, the familiarity and just the savings involved. But of course, it's I think that's what people are looking for is sort of a middle step. We've got this big transition from gas to electric. And we've got this bridge in the form of the hybrid that allows us to make some introductory gains without sacrificing anything, really. You've got the best of both worlds in terms of fuel economy and range. And so there again, you've got the ability to cover a lot of ground. You know, obviously the fast chargers are great. And so you're able to start getting 80% charge in 15 minutes or so. And so that's going to be helpful for a lot of people because they can stop off at a convenience store, they can hit a restaurant really quickly and still get back on the go. But as many of us log those miles on the Great American Road Trip, we want to do that at our own flexibility and freedom. We want to cover as much ground as possible. And so the hybrid allows some of that to still continue. But just keeping in mind, the EV range, it's getting better and better too. Initially, it was 100, 150, 200 miles. Now some of the high-end ones get 450 miles of range. And so it's only a matter of time, really, before that technology, which gets better and better, cheaper and cheaper, it's going to tap into that secondary wave, I think, over the next few years, particularly as the infrastructure matches and keeps pace with it.
Do you think over time, Matthew, that we will see more people kind of get on this EV bandwagon? Because as I said at the start of our conversation, I am really on the fence about it. I see all the benefits of it, but I am on the fence and I don't know if I can be tipped over it or not. And I'm sure there are other people who feel the same way.
Oh, I think so too. I think it's definitely going to be a wait and see for a lot of people, but you know, the interesting part too is in the beginning you had just a couple of models and so there wasn't a lot of personality to it. And now you're talking about everything from the small cars to a Cybertruck. And Cybertrucks, the look of them is pretty polarizing. Some people absolutely love them and some people just aren't quite ready to adopt it. But what it does tell you is that it's expanding out to reach different personalities and different uses. And so if you've got people who can do things that trucks do with the Lightnings, with the Cybertrucks, with the Rivians and others, well, that's going to be more and more an interest for people. And certainly once you get some of this particularly when we're talking about the rural setting. A lot of Idaho is extremely rural, and so people want to feel that same comfort level that they can go camping up into the backcountry, and there's still going to be a solution that doesn't involve them needing to be towed back out of there. And I think that for the most part, that's going to be resolved in just a very short number of years here. But of course, until some of that happens, people are going to be on the fences, and we understand that.
Well, as always, we sure appreciate you coming in and talking with us about this. We've been chatting with AAA Idaho Public and Government Affairs Director Matthew Condi about a new AAA study on why people are hesitant to buy an electric vehicle. State officials are hosting a virtual public meeting Wednesday, which is tomorrow, July 31st, on where they want to build Idaho charging stations. Now, those potential sites won't become final until they solicit applications from cities and businesses later this year. And of course, we'll keep you updated on all of that. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.